if there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There's no second best crypto asset.
I respect you, and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. How are you doing? We will be reviewing a very important movie because it's important to learn the signs of a matriarchal, absolutely SJW feminism movie. But it's important to know that there's a second layer to it. The base woke movie used to be just here's a black hero, here's a gender neutral hero, whatever. And that was kind of too much in your face. But you have to learn the second layer of subversion of leftism, which is the anti-natalist fight. And ultimately, what Project Hail Mary is proposing as a kind of ideological moral program is to tell all these incels, look, it's okay. You can become friends with the little stone alien instead of making babies. It's okay that you're this awkward physics professor. And in fact, what's fascinating about this movie is that the awkward physics professor that has a doctorate but was rejected from the academia, he's not even right about his crazy theory. That's just how much anti-male this movie is. It's that the hero is just... is just a loser, an actual loser who legitimately got fired from the academia because he's fucking deluded. But he can still be used as a non-reproductive, fertile sacrifice to the universe by being sent on this spaceship mission to save the Earth, but not your own children. Not your own children. And in the process of being syringe raped, by the way, right? You might think I'm exaggerating. Ryan Gosling is syringe raped in this movie, medically forced by the medical establishment to be induced in coma so he can be sent against his will on this earth-saving sterile mission with a sterile woman who ends up dying before he even gets there. And it's like the message of the movie is, look, okay, you didn't make it with the woman and all. And okay, your boss that just syringe raped you to send you across the universe has all of her eggs dried. But once you're there, you'll be in contact with a new life form, a little stone man. You can become friends with him and you can save the Earth. And in fact, you can become so much friends that... And this is where the double layer cuckery of this fucking crap movie happens. Not only do you get cucked by the Earth... raped by syringe, sent by the medical establishment. Ryan Gosling sends back the info to the Earth to save the Earth, not his babies, because he doesn't have any. But also he gets cucked by the alien life form. He gets transported to the alien planet and becomes a physics teacher there for babies that are not genetically related to himself. This is absolute leftist fucking subversion. And this is what we need to talk about today. Before we get into the whole description of the movie, the UFC, this is getting me excited. I know it's promotional and it's just displayed bravado and it's not necessarily all real. But these guys, I feel that Sean Strickland does have a genuine hatred for Shimaev, a genuine disdain. And Shimaev in the press conference ended up kicking his leg. I will certainly be watching this on Saturday. I'm excited because when it comes to Sean Strickland, he's a very talented fighter, very well-rounded, with a very standing and boxing kind of approach to his offense. but also a very deep knowledge of wrestling defense and Brazilian jiu-jitsu, a black belt in jiu-jitsu. So it's a very interesting combination. And when it's Sean Strickland, you can be invested because you know this guy is real. You know, he has political opinions. He just drops them. He doesn't care. And I don't know that we agree on everything. I'm sure he's just this regular American MAGA type of guy. But he's been kind of expressing a doubt around Trump, which tells me, yeah, he did take issue with the Israel conquest of the Trump administration. So this guy is real, and I can be emotionally invested when there's a fight with him. If there's a fight with two guys that I can't identify with, doesn't really move me. But here I can see a fight between a free white man of a free white civilization and someone that he wants to beat that comes from a different culture and different fighting style. This is, yes, I am afraid of Sean Strickland, says Marby Dog. He hits very strong. I mean, it's and he makes it look like nothing. But this guy is a very, very powerful hitter, very strategic hitter. It's a form of boxing that you don't even see in box because of the gloves and all. But it's a very, very powerful striker. I will be there on Saturday to watch this. I'm excited about this. Broken Starter says, real human, so true. We are multi-streaming on YouTube and X. If you would like to support the show, use the dollar button under the YouTube chat or use the streamlabs.com/JFGtonight/tip. First link in the description below. Streamlabs is my favorite way to receive support for the show. And your support is needed for me to keep going. So let's talk about Project Hail Mary. First, the name. The name tells you everything about this movie. Hail Mary. This is not random. I will not believe. And by the way, the movie is moving. And it's a movie you can watch. And if you don't want to get political, you're going to cry at the end. Because, oh my God, he's really a friend with the little stone being. Yeah, it's a decent movie that you can watch. The editing in space is very new. So normally when you do space videos, you know, they stick to accuracy. They stick to a very slow, like 2001 Space Odyssey type of development because everything is slow in space. You can't just drive around like this. This movie kind of leaves aside the physics and says, no, yeah, we can drive around bizarrely in space. Now, they keep some of the gravity themes and realisticness of an inducted gravity by rotation. But they leave a lot on the side to just say, look, this alien spaceship is just superior. It can just parallel park literally around your ship. Okay, it's fine. I mean, it's typical of a commercial Ryan Gosling movie where Ryan Gosling brings in such a kind of low-level comedic kind of awkward type of guy, cute, the kind of guy that women like to watch, really. That's what Ryan Gosling is. And so the seriousness of the scientific aspect of it matters a little less. And it's okay. It's okay to have taken that route. There's a lot of complication that comes from really wanting the space movie to be realistic. And this movie just did away with it. They kept, you know, sounds at times. Sounds are silent in space at times. They keep the idea of acceleration and all, but there is a couple of scenes that are cut awkwardly, and it's like, oh, okay, that's not really what would happen in space. And the alien spaceship is just too weird, too parallel parking, literally. It's like, I'm going to fly away from him. But with acceleration, you can't really drive that way. You can't just, it's not like a car. A car, you know, you accelerate, then you reach your point, and then you stop. And they kind of do this with spaceships, and that's not how spaceships work. If you want to stop your speed that you've accumulated, you're going to have a pushback. You're going to have to turn around and propose yourself in the opposite direction. Whereas this movie, the starships sometimes behave like cars. And it's weird. but it kind of contributes to the kind of comedic, ironic aspect of this movie, where it's a little bit like Don't Look Up. You know how Don't Look Up, it's like they don't care and it's all poorly filmed and it gives a social media vibe to it. They kind of did it in space. Now, what do we have? We have Ryan Gosling in this movie, and Hail Mary, basically, it could have been a good movie. Now, I know that it's from a book, and I'm not commenting tonight about the book. I'm only commenting about the movie, because that's what people will watch, and that's what I analyze. Hail Mary simply means this is an illustration of the female-controlled Earth. It is the matriarchy that we're faced with. This movie is an embedment of the matriarchy into the space theme. And Hail Mary literally means Christian civilization has abandoned its heroization of men, and it has chosen instead to say Hail Mary, and it will pay the price for it. And the price is the sacrifice of men on the altar of secularism, science, and cancel culture. That is literally what I'm suggesting is the metaphor here. And I believe it's absolutely intentional. You don't get that much connection with even the title. You don't get that much of a recruitment of the feminist themes if it's not intentional. To me, whoever did the movie, I don't know if the book is that way, but whoever did the movie said, I'm gonna recycle this book and make a feminist movie about it. That is definitely the case. And what's fascinating is that they have somehow attempted to promote this movie as a non-woke movie. They said, the era of woke is over. No. The era of woke is not over. This is a very strongly anti-white, anti-male movie. Absolutely. I mean, the black guy stays on Earth with the females because he's following the female orders. This guy is good to stay on Earth. The white guy, Ryan Gosling, gets sacrificed. And here we have the first theme I wanted to approach, the disposable male. Ryan Gosling is made into a disposable male that it is okay to rape. And this is one aspect of this movie and one aspect of the thinking of feminism, which is it's okay to sacrifice white males to save civilization. It's okay to sacrifice white male for making a better world, for peace, for climate, global warming, whatever. It's always okay to sacrifice white male, but what is the drive here is a civilizationally destructive belief. Anonymous has sent a super chat. Thank you so much. Let's have a look.
JF, I want to thank you for recommending the films The Decline of the American Empire and The Barbarian Invasions by Arkhan, as well as the documentary Pour la Suite du Monde Back in the TPS Stays.
Absolutely. Excellent, excellent movies. The Decline of the if you want to understand just the boomerism of Quebec society, The Decline of the American Empire, The Barbarian Invasions, and then The Fall of the American Empire. That's one you haven't listed. If you have just watched these two, go watch the third one, The Fall of the American Empire, a metaphorical allegory on just the youth and Generation X just inheriting a fallen world and just trying to run away with the money. It's really what it is, and I highly recommend. And Pour la Suite du Monde is, as far as I'm concerned, one of the most beautiful movies ever made in the history of civilization. For what is to come, I believe that's the title in English. It's a documentary about beluga fishermen. And you're going to tell me that's the best movie in the... Yeah, it's the best movie ever. And maybe it's hard to understand for an English person, but it is one of the most beautiful movies ever. An actual capture, an anthropological capture of a particularly very small society of French Canadians in a specific time, isolated on an island, making a very traditional beluga fishing, whale fishing activity, which captured a live beluga, and they end up selling it at the zoo of New York. And it's like, and the entire village just has to deploy these efforts together. All right, going back to the disposable male. So that is Ryan Gosling, and man, does he play perfectly. I'm torn apart because it's like the role that he's been given is extremely subversive. It's a, I fucking love science, I'm a loser, but it's kind of okay, right? I mean, I've never been the kind of guy that people like, that woman like at high school. I'm kind of awkward, kind of slightly autistic. And oh no, I'm not a hero. No, I can't do this. I'm not a hero. I can't do that. He plays it perfectly. This is where I'm torn. It's like very talented acting. He gives the producer exactly what they wanted. They wanted a stupid, disposable white male, and he accepted to do the subversion. DK Shadow says, Gosling playing a loser, unbelievable. That's the tension of the feminist production of modern culture, which is that these guys are doing exactly what females want. They're giving them the performance that they want. It's like they ordered a disposable white male, a little stupid on the side. In fact, a complete failure as far as science goes, which is so sad. Because it's like, give me something, at least. Give me something that this guy, that makes this guy exceptional, like a hero. But he's not a hero. He's the disposable white male hero of a feminist movie. And this is the difference. This is why his whole theory about water and carbon and, oh yeah, life is more water or whatever. I don't even know what it is. I didn't even care about paying attention to the detail because it gets shut off in the movie. It's like, no, it's not true. And he looks at the microscope with the new life form and it's like, oh, maybe my theory is true. Oh no, it's not true. Yeah, it's just these life forms are just made of water too. So it's like, bro, this guy isn't even a visionary, and it's highlighted in the movie how you're just wrong. That's why you got rejected from academia. Academia was right. You know, this old female that is part of the controlling of this whole mission, she was just right to fire you. You're just a deluded high school physics professor or biochemistry professor because you're just not good. But we can use you. We can use you to solve the problem. So as far as the science goes, what this movie is about is they find that the sun is getting drained. It's getting drained by a new life form that has shown up in the solar system. They find that this life form has infected every solar system around except one. And they find that the life form accumulates a big amount of energy. And it's little black dots. They're little black dots that are flying in space. They go into the sun. They basically pump that energy. And then they go to Venus to reproduce. That leads to a trail. And that trail is causing problems because it's going to drain the energy of the sun. And the only way to save the solar system is to go find the scientific solution in the other solar system where the life form hasn't succeeded at penetrating yet. So that's what it is. It's life forms will be added, and it just so happens that we're not alone. So it's not just humans. There are extraterrestrials who will also be headed toward this planetary system, the solar system, because it's a solar system of interest. They all want to know how did they solve the problem of the black dots. So already we have a male who is not reproducing, and what is he doing instead? He is teaching other kids. He is teaching kids that are not his. So he's already a cuck before this movie even begins. He's already a cuck, just a slave of the system that rejected him, but he stays in. So you have an academia that rejected you. What do? You just keep licking feet, trying to trying to cuck your way into something. And you become a high school teacher and you're teaching the official science to these children, which you know is untrue because we can see that that's the struggle at the very beginning of the movie. The kids are like, yeah, we're going to die. Like, it's very clear we're going to die. And he's like, oh, well, you know, and he's trying to soften it. He's making himself a voice of the big lie. Fade VM sends $50. Thank you so much for the support. He says, this take is 100%. I saw this movie and thought it was a good modern sci-fi movie, but it didn't leave me with that hopeful, optimistic feeling I expected to get from such a seemingly heroic journey. Hollywood is getting better at its subversion. Exactly. You are absolutely correct. And at the end, I will explain to you why. Why did you not get the satisfying feeling that you should have gotten from this movie? And spoiler alert, I'll tell you right away. It's because the hero is hero quest. What does it end up in? It ends up being in cuckery. It ends up being, I'm going to train these diverse aliens, and I mean actual aliens from another solar system, and I'm going to spend the rest of my life living a sterile life in a biodome contained by feminism, where my male aggressivity can be contained and directed at the education of a new generation of stone aliens. Okay. Now, because that's the hero's journey. The hero's journey is not even to have saved the earth. The hero's journey is not even to be able to come back to inseminate a woman. It's to give himself away after a series of medical rapes. So you have, you're raped. Your IDs are bad. You're rejected from academia. Your act of saving is not even based on your special insight. You're stupid. You don't have children. You care for the needs of other children on the earth. Then we put you, by syringe raping you, onto a spaceship. We send you out there. And once you're out there, you don't even take the revolutionary act of saying, fuck these people. Fuck these people. They can burn in hell. They've rejected me. They forced me here. I'm not sending the life form back. Because the whole idea is that what they find on this other solar system is, oh, there's this life form that equilibrates with the black dots. So if you have this life form, they are predators to the black dots, and it kind of equilibrates the solar system in a way where you can save the sun. What does this fucking idiot cuck does? He sends back the life form to the very people who raped him, to a planet on which he has zero babies. That is not the right thing to do. And that is why it's unsatisfying, is you have a guy that's been raped into the ground, into non-existence, and he's been raped with, fascinatingly, this I love science crap, which is what the leftists currently need in leftist cities. Because let me tell you how this movie is ultimately a social programming engineering project. The big problem that leftists are faced with is that they have created these feminist cities that have all this artificial economy based around it. But they need males. They need males to do the actual work, because it's still males that will build your roads. It's still males that will elevate your big buildings in which you can have some free meals while you supervise the trust and safety committee at Google or whatever. So all of these female jobs, they all ultimately require the work of males. And they are stuck with a big problem, which is they keep telling males, success will be yours. All you have to do is act in line with the system. All you have to do is display some beta feminist behaviors and you'll find a girl that loves you. But they don't. Because those are sterile places where women get abortions, where they get one, two babies, and that's it. So there's only a limited supply of pussy that they have in those cities. Now, what does leftism need, therefore? It needs a psychological program to shut down the reproductive drive of men. And what is that program? It's, you can be something else. You can be something else than a father. You can be, I fucking love science. geek enthusiast. You can be a collector of Funko Pops. You can have a cat. You can be fascinated about science and doing healthy internet stuff that is not related to Andrew Tate. You can be the sterile savior of humanity by letting us step over your working hard, your hard work and your muscles as the female matriarchy. So they are stuck in the problem that they need to reprogram so many males to be non-reproductive and to be soy faces. Yes. Ty Rogerson says soy face into the black hole. That is literally the feminist project. But it doesn't work because it's like there's no reason men want to work except to form a family. There's no reason, and you're trying to redirect male drive to something that it should not be directed to. A man should not be satisfied with serving the world by building bridges. That is what they want, but they can never get this because evolution bars this anyways. Even if you fool 50% of the males into going there, the next 50% of the males are going to be harder. They're going to be harder set on the goal of making babies. So you have the sterilization project, which is absolutely embedded in this movie. And look at how Ryan Gosling perfectly impersonates the soy face. I mean, it's like he's been taking some cues from Matt Damon here in Mars. Because he's looking at the camera and it's kind of selfie type, social media type. Hey, bro, here, let me explain to you what's been happening here. And he's talking in this cool liberal dude type of way. And it's so pathetic. It's fucking painful inside. So some of the other feminist elements of this movie, there's the old female. The old female is very important in this movie. She is basically the order giver. Somehow she is the lead scientist on all of this. And it's fascinating because she seems to only have power. And she uses power. She's the one who orders the syringe rape of Ryan Gosling. But she has power that is undeserved. So one aspect of feminism is you have all these old women in power and they have jobs in universities. But they don't even produce. They're not even good scientists. And she seems to be kind of a politician / scientific manager of some sort. But she brings no knowledge of science. She even has to have Ryan Gosling speak for her in front of the committee and all. But she has control of everything. So Terra Firma calls it the Hag Oracle. Which is a an archetype of feminist thinking. Feminist thinking all have this impression that there's this giga wisdom that is totally unexploited by the world in 40-year-old, 50-year-old females. And it's like, there's not even wisdom of that sort in 40-year-old, 50-year-old males. Males can produce their best products in their 20s, their 30s. And then eventually they cognitively decline. In a female, forget it. But somehow she's in control of everything. And she's the one who makes the decision. And this is another feminist theme. The decision of sacrificing the white male for a better world. That is the decision that she does. It's like, I will sacrifice my ideas of consent. Because anyways, it's just a white guy. I will sacrifice it because it's needed for a better world. And this is the dream of every feminist, to be sniping testicles of males, to be neutering males. Ryan Gosling is being neutered because he's being sent on a mission. The very I fucking love science that has guided his life up to now also kills the only reproductive female on ship because her life support services fail. And so there you go. You have trusted science throughout your entire life. And this is a metaphor for, yeah, we're going to get the birth pill. We're going to get the vaccines. We're going to get all sorts of things that will kill you stochastically. So you can never really say, well, it's the fault of science. But in the end, it is. In the end, if you hadn't stacked all of these risks from modern life, you would be just a regular farmer living in line with nature, and you wouldn't have acquired all of these diseases. So yes, it's a disease of modernity. Yes, it's a disease of science that we suffer from today. And Ryan Gosling has the metaphor for it. The only reproductive female that was on board with him is killed before they even get woken up. So she's already dead. She's already sterile. So you got a sterile old female that sent you from the earth against your will. You got a female sterilized by the birth pill and science and poor life support services in your own spaceship. You have to get rid of the body. And you are left with, you can only pursue your passion, which is to be friends and cool and communicate your love of science with some other life form. Ked's dad says, it's like if Papa JF decided to not have kids and teach other children. That's what all feminists want men to do. They want to reduce you. They're going to tell you, we're going to find a job for you. You're going to be paid $30,000 a year to educate other people than your own children. The Black Agent, of course. This has been noted by the commenter I was highlighting in the show yesterday. The Black Agent is constantly submissive to the old female's orders. When she says, I want this guy to be injected with the syringe, he just runs after him and catches him with his team. He is the illustrator of the beta black that is siding with anti-white feminism and trying to acquire status in the cities of that are matriarchy controlled. So he's the guy who did a wager, contrary to Ryan Gosling. Ryan Gosling, you got too much into being a loser. Now you're getting canceled by the earth. But this black guy does what the female wants. Oh, you want me to capture him? I'll capture him. You want an injection against his will? I'll do it. So he doesn't speak much in the movie. He's always in very small sentences, as was pointed out yesterday. But it's kind of the guy who doesn't have a stake, doesn't have even thinking for himself. And it's the black guy who decided to side with the sterile matriarchy. One of the things that's very revolting about this movie is that Ryan Gosling, despite having been completely sacrificed by humanity against his will in the dirtiest way possible, when he's up there, he still wants to save humanity. You have to have your moral limits. You have to have your deontology set so that if you rape me, I will fuck up your planet. And this is the only way you can fight against the matriarchy. All right, you want to kidnap my kids with family courts? Fuck your city. I'm not living there. I'm not paying taxes there. I'm bringing my bitcoins out. That's the only way. You have to say to hell to this past place that has abused me. But Ryan Gosling doesn't do that. He would have had, in an instant, he would have had the capacity to not save the earth. And he doesn't take it. He would just have had to crush the life form with a hammer and say, no, you don't deserve to live. You don't deserve to live because I can't get a girlfriend. I'm being forced to educate other children that are not mine. Fuck it. Let's burn the whole thing down. He still saves planet Earth. Now, most of the movie is based around the relationship. So it's a very relationship-based movie. Around the relationship with a new alien. That's the alien. It's a little stone being. They are extremely intelligent. They control a technology that is higher than what is developed by humans. Their spaceship seems superior. And they happen to encounter at this solar system at which Ryan Gosling was sent, because they were sent there for the very same reason. They're trying to save their world home from the black dots. And much of the movie is about the development of the relationship with this little alien. He develops eventually a translator machine laptop, which understands the of the alien. Now, those aliens, they don't have faces. Their face is only a flat rock like this. They don't have as much articulated members as we do. They are lacking five fingers. It would seem they have maybe two or three fingers. But they are extreme engineers. So they can just spawn, apparently, glass and metal forms of xenon, which xenon shouldn't be a metal, but somehow they can patent, they can hack together xenon atoms to form glass structures, metallic structures of all kind. And that is what allows you ultimately the relationship to develop, but always through a glass, because they need a different atmosphere. they need a different atmosphere than the humans. So there's a story of saving, where of self-sacrifice, where there's a point at which the rock being sacrifices itself and almost dies to save Ryan Gosling. There's also a point at which Ryan Gosling, on his way back to the Earth, because he just had enough fuel to get back to the Earth. By the way, it wasn't even fuel planned by the Earth, which is another element of the disposable male. The mission was that he would have no fuel to get back to inseminate a woman. The mission was to just burn him in the other solar system. But he does find a solution. He finds local fuel, which allows him to, which happens to be the black dots, because they accumulate energy from the sun, so they have a lot of energy inside of them. But on his way back to Earth, he doesn't even get back to Earth. He thinks, oh my God, I just found this thing we forgot about. The xenon containers for the life form aren't safe, and my stone friend is going to die. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to save the Earth by sending a probe to planet Earth. So that gets scared of saving the people who have syringe raped me. And then I'm going to also drive back, so I totally abolish my chances for a reproductive life. I'm going to drive back to the stone being and warn him that he's about to get popped up by this parasitic life form that we forgot on the ship. So that's the story. And we are supposed to believe that the resolution at the end is satisfying, which is after this whole development of a relationship with the stone being, Ryan becomes friends with him. The stone being is capable of creating a fake world for Ryan Gosling. It seems to be kind of on a moon of a Saturn-like planet of his world. And they kind of they bioengineer that, they terraform this moon so that it feels good for Ryan Gosling. There's oxygen around. So they basically rebuild a little Earth. But it's a little Earth in which you can never populate with human beings. So what is this little Earth being used for? Or maybe it's a biodome that's local to their planet. I'm not sure. It's not clear. Either it's a moon or it's a biodome on the planet. But in any case, he has this whole huge beach to himself, a whole house. And that is also what feminism promises to you. They say, if you can just do our bridges, guys, and be our electricians, you're not going to get the girl. You're going to get fucked in family court. You don't have rights. We're going to treat you as disposable. But you can have a beach and you can have fun. And you can say, I fucking love science. We're going to pay your mortgage. That is the deal of the devil, of the city that is controlled by females right now. And we're supposed to believe that this is a beautiful resolution, because on this planet, on this biodome, this fake aquarium container for male drive. See, that is the embeddedment of the feminist dream. It's like, I've taken my male violence and I've contained it. He doesn't want to reproduce. He just wants to be friends with the stone for the rest of his life. I'm going to give you that. He wants a couple of walks on the beach, and he wants the delusion that he's still a teacher. So what do? They bring the youth of the stone aliens so that he can be like, okay, guys, we're going to learn. That's how the movie ends. Okay, guys, tell me, what's the speed of light? And the stone beings are getting excited. So we are supposed to believe this is a resolution, and this goes to your super chat, Fade VM. Why is this not a resolution? Because this guy has been contained into self-satisfaction. This guy has been successfully cucked by feminism. This guy has given everything. He's been raped. He's been medically abused. And he still wants to give. And he still just is content with what he's being given in an artificial, non-reproductive world. He has been successfully pawned by feminism. That is why this is a terrible and but extremely subversive, extremely intelligent movie. Because a lot of people were telling me, as I announced the show tonight, they were telling me, JF, I like this movie. I know what you mean. I almost cried. Because it's moving to see the friendship with the stone. Because in a way, it disembodies friendship from humanness. Because this stone is really not human. And the idea to develop empathy for something that doesn't have a face is kind of an interesting success that this movie gets. But it is all at the service of infertility and the promotion of the female matriarchy. Here, I mean, just look at this. It's like they gave him this fucking soy sweater. Soy hipster sweater. I can't believe they did this to Ryan Gosling. And Ryan Gosling is so used to this. He's such a woman's man. He's one of these guys who, I don't care. I'm a boy toy. He's a boy toy. That's the definition of a boy toy. So a boy toy always likes to look cute for the ladies. He gives them what they want all the time. And he gave them exactly what they asked. No threat t-shirt of soyism. And look at how non-aggressive I am. I'm just a cool dude who just had an idea that happened to be wrong about water and life forms. But if I can do anything to help humanity, bro, I will. But I'm not a hero, you know? You can't just send me out there. Oh, yeah, well, we're going to send you anyway. Finally, my last comment on the movie is the karaoke scene where the old infertile woman, is like everything has to be centered around her. She controls everything about this mission. And now they're getting ready to send Ryan Gosling out and the astronauts out. And it's like you have to listen to her singing, "Just stop your crying, it's a sign of the times. Welcome to the final show. I hope you're wearing your best clothes. You can't bribe the door on your way to the sky. You look pretty good down here, but you ain't really good. We never learned where we've been before. Why are we losing and running from the bullets?" And this is supposed to be moving. It's like, oh, it's so terrible. She's going to be separated from some people that she really loves because she's attached to them because there are engineers that she trained for this mission. And it's like, bro, this is a psychopath who's sending someone in coma against their will. That's not the right moment to make me empathetic toward her. This is a fucking psycho female, okay, who doesn't care about consent. And yet represents feminism. So this movie could have been powerful, let me tell you. Because if this movie had taken a critical stance on everything I just listed, if it could just have let a little slither of hope of saying, you know what, maybe the producer was against all this, it could have been a great movie and a great anti-feminist movie. But this is not an anti-feminist movie. It is not the end of woke. This is woke disguised. This is actually what woke was always about. I've always said it here. Woke isn't about the trends or the blue hairs or whatever they pay attention to at any moment. Woke is about combating the male drive for white reproduction and the maintenance of civilization. That's what it's always been about. And I've seen their attacks against me in my life. It's always what it boils down to. Their problem that they take with me down the line is that I breed. I make babies. And Ryan Gosling is not like me. That's why he's the little boy toy that they like to adore. Cat's Dad says, masterful breakdown, JF. Thank you so much for the support. Really appreciate the super chats. 311SE sends $50. Thank you so much for the generous super chat. He says he's soy because he's a Christian in this movie. His last name is Grace. Peter was Jesus' foundation for the church, a.k.a. The Rock. His best friend is a guy named Rocky, and it's a Hail Mary. I think you're too atheist for this movie, Jeff. No, I like what you're pointing here. That's all very important. I typically don't do a religious text analysis of that sort. But you are absolutely correct. It's very important the fact that that Ryan Gosling is named Grace in this movie. Yes, that's important. Because what is it, this movie? It's about burning Grace out. It's about saying, throw Grace down the trash. Use it if it can save us, to keep us living our matriarchal utopia. But fuck Grace. That is what this movie is about. And I like what you're pointing out. This didn't strike me because I'm not a guy who interprets these things in a religious way. But you're absolutely correct. Very deep reference there. And it's also important that he's a Christian because there was no reason to make this guy Christian in the movie. But he had to be a Christian in the end. So this guy normally should be an atheist, secularist dude. That's what everything about his character is about this. But somehow they put a cross around his neck. And I think at some point they say, do you believe in God? And the response is something like, it's the best. It's better than the alternative. That may be the response of the old lady. But definitely they present it as he's some kind of believer in God. And he's named Grace also, as you point out. So extremely important details that you've just added here. I fully agree with you. Absolutely. Because ultimately, it's the cancellation of Christianity. What this movie is evoking is, look, the Christians are so giving. We can actually just inject them, put them in a coma, send them out there. They still will save us. That's just how cucked Christians are. That's what this movie is saying. And it's both Christian and the white male. It's both at the same time. But the imagery is very evocative on both sides. Cat's Dad says, JF, do you think there will be a based Gosling edits from this movie, or was this a humiliation ritual for all of Gosling based roles? I think you may be onto something, because I believe that it's impossible to testosterone clip this movie. Now, this is work, like, I know what video editing means. And this is work that you have to work very hard. For an actor not to look manly at any point of the movie, you have no idea. There are makeup artists, there are producers that need to work, that need to coach them, that need to say, no, you look too testosterone-y right now. And then you need the video editors, and they need to select the most cucked images. And let me tell you, I haven't seen a single second in this movie where Ryan Gosling seems epic. Even in the like radical moments where the spaceship goes to shit, starts spinning, there's few leaks. Even in these moments, he's just acting like a soy cuck. This was ordered. This is an ordered movie. This is an ordered performance. And Ryan Gosling delivered like a fucking soy boy. Forex Shark says, I thought the movie was pretty bad. I was into it until the rock creature, and then it turned into a child's movie. Oh yeah, it's a very extensive movie as far as the relationship development between him and the creature. It could have been shortened easily. They just decided that they were making a long movie about it. I guess it's because they had the idea that the whole movie was about the reconciliation of Ryan Gosling with the universe, is that ultimately at least he can have friendship. So it was important for them to develop this friendship and this relationship of mutual trust and protection and mutual self-sacrifice. Look, that's all I had to say tonight. It is a movie that you should watch if you are aware of everything I stated tonight and you approach it with knowledge that this is toxic feminism. Wasp sends a super chat. Thank you so much. He says, what locations would you recommend settling in on North America to escape the city? My wife, she doesn't want children now. Leave the U.S.? It's you have to jungle about your rights and the states where you are and whether you have a window, a window to move out to another country, which will put you at a weakness position. But if you ask me, the ideal place to be in North America right now is Alberta, for sure. For sure. America, the U.S. is going to shit. The eastern provinces of Canada and the western province that British Columbia is all going to shit, all going to become social welfare kingdoms of government intervention in your life, absence of individual rights, and ultimately, if you're not on the government welfare, they crack down on you through child protective services and that kind of stuff. So the only place that I know to be honoring the classical vision of a Western civilization with rights is Alberta. So that doesn't mean if you're an American to come to Alberta directly. It depends. Do you have an opportunity for immigration? Do you have enough money maybe to make it? Or do you have a wife that has Canadian citizenship? Something like that. Don't throw yourself in a position where you lose everything and where you'll be rejected from here through the immigration system. But the ideal to me is Alberta, and my guess, therefore, would be in America, in the U.S., if you want to stay within the U.S. borders, your best spot is probably these places like Montana and the states below Alberta. If you go too southern, you end up with very corrupt societies. I've seen it in Texas. They will tell you that Texas is a Republican state. They will tell you also that Georgia is a Republican state. But it's Republican something else. Texas is Republican Hispanic. Georgia is Republican Black. And those are very different ways of living. They are very different conceptions of what right-wing is. It's not even right-wing to me. Those states are extremely interventionist. They are extremely impeding on individual rights, family rights. And so anything below the southern line of the middle of America, to me, is done. Anything below the middle of the U.S. is done. Those are places that are lost. So the only survival opportunity is in a kind of central block in northwestern and northwestern, not coastal, but just northwestern places. Kids Dead says, I'm in Texas and what JF says is true. Oh yeah, I know these places because they've attacked me because they kidnapped some of my loved ones. So I know what these places are about. And I'm not being paranoid and I'm not like just an unlucky guy. I have seen these systems and what they do. They are set up to fuck men up. They are set up to fuck men up. And it's just hellhole of corruption, as John Drake talks about it. Yes, you are right. He says, Miami is a hellhole of corruption. I don't get people wanting to move to Florida. It's humid and not Western. Absolutely. It's a jungle. You're going to be in a jungle, and it's going to be jungle cities and jungle places. it's we have to abandon the conception that this is America. It used to be a place that was America. It's not anymore. By the way, I've been printing my first test prints for white people food. Look at this. This will be beautiful. I mean, this is just a cheap sheet print. Those are not the final looks of the book, but just absolutely satisfied by the looks that I was able to work on the cover. Here we have the back cover. Back cover print attempt. And it's going to be much more better print quality, but this is just what I was able to do on my laser printer. My tactical guides, the breakfast sandwich, a full decision tree on everything that a breakfast sandwich has ever been made from. Literally just worldwide European flavors that are used across the European world. All of the decisions are right here. If you do a breakfast sandwich that is not in here, you're creating something new. That is the whole of the breakfast sandwich game. Galette saucisse. These buckwheat pancakes with sausages in them, with mozzarella cheese melted, with mustard, beer. Excellent breakfast. All of my recipes are appearing on a single page like this. Eggs Benedictine with my signature. And all of the explanations on how to perform these recipes. This is going to be an absolute success book. If quality means anything, as far as I'm concerned, this is the best cookbook one can write. It's absolutely insane the amount of improvement you will have in your everyday life, because I'm being very realistic here. I'm not telling you, oh yeah, go get some rare spice. And no. What can you do that's the best method with stuff that you can buy at Walmart or the regular grocery store, period. No special thing, no high cost. Just the techniques that allow you to transform cheap products into better living. Naberius says, that is some solid document design. Oh yeah, I've been working hard. I started from a template. That is a template I have purchased because a lot of the graphics were already worked in. But I gave it my old flavor because those tactical guides, I created the layout and how they flow. And those pictures, I've selected them for their accuracy, their representation of the traditional recipe. I've been trying to stick to reality to the best I could. And as a scientist, I probably am better at doing this than the average cookbook writer, the average cookbook author. Because to me, it's important to not fool. It doesn't mean not use AI or not use lighting tricks. But to me, it's important, whatever the product I put in front of you, I want you to be able to reproduce it. Even if I made it with AI. Some of the pictures I've made with AI, but it's because I couldn't get those particular recipes properly and I couldn't photograph them properly. But I want the AI composition to be something that is accurate, something that represents what the real meal is. Ket's Dad says, who wrote the foreword? I will not get any foreword, just like I didn't get forewords for the Revolutionary Phenotype. I have written my own letter to the people in this book, and I don't like the forewords because they require a social layer, and ultimately you get people acknowledging authors based on personal preference, political preference. You know, to me, what breaks the forward world, what broke my heart, is to see a Richard Dawkins producing the forward for Susan Blackmore's The Meme Machine, while also knowing and writing in the forward, basically, she's wrong. But she's a woman, so I'm gonna write a forward for her. That is effectively what Richard Dawkins wrote in the Meme Machine foreword. And it's like, okay, I lose respect for forewords. If at this point you're telling me, oh, you know, I don't know about her IDs, but she's a woman, you know? Okay, bro.